Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
The first thing I want to, I'm going to bring attention to things and homework as we go. But I want you to think for a second, young people especially, and before I go further, young adults, you did a wonderful job. I know you're hurting. Yeah. I know you're hurting, and but the love that you showed everyone at that funeral or at the hospital was incredible. Even Pastor Rod and I at one point were talking. We had both never seen anything like that. I looked at one of them. I said, gosh, I hope that it's like that for me. Like, there are people nonstop, and what can we get you? And praying and just crying with each other. But they were there to support Mireille and pray for Zach and the family. So well done. I'm really, really, really proud of you guys. But I want to say this for young adults. You know, we sometimes, I'm not young anymore. I realize I've somehow passed this stage. Before you know it, it's gone. But, you know, you're young and you're like, what is the purpose of my life? And I think Pastor Jeff mentioned it. I was there in the morning. You know, often people will come to the line and go, what is God's will for me? What is my purpose? And we want to make an impact. And today we have this thing called influencers, you know, Instagram influencers. But can I tell you something? You know, there's probably going to be, I would imagine, somewhere between 500 to 1,000 people on Friday. I don't know if Zach ever ran into a burning building. Like, he told me stories, but I don't remember anything that he ever did. Correct me if I'm wrong, that was like, you know, he was strong. I don't ever remember him lifting a car off of someone. Like, I don't remember any of that. And yet that man made an impact on more people simply by being him. I'm with family, so if I cry today, it's okay. Because Zach was Zach. He just smiled. He was generous. I look at the pictures. People are posting pictures. I'm like, did that guy ever make a straight face? Like, every picture, you know? But I'm thinking of the fact that all those people are going to come, and I don't remember this big moment in his life that he didn't have a single that went number one. Like, he just loved people. And he loved life. And he loved Jesus. And I'm like, wow, we can do a lot with that, can't we? That there is proof right there that we can do a lot with that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, so many thoughts. And the first thought I want to give you guys with homework, this is like three times now that I've thought through somebody's passing and gleaned so much from their life. So here's our homework. You should write this one down. Can we stop thinking about that when people pass away and start thinking about that when people are alive? Because I thought, man, we got to learn to be so present that we can go, look at this person's life. And I'm like, I don't want to do that after all the time. And, you know, funerals are a wonderful time to say such great things about the person, but I'm not sure how it works in heaven if they get to watch. But I'm like, we got to do this better when we're alive. Amen. And I thought, I'm just noticing his life. And I noticed some of the things, but I'm noticing so much more as I ponder. Let's start pondering each other's lives. That's the homework. Ponder each other's life and start to go, look what they do so well. I need to learn from them. Claude, you do that well. You ponder people and encourage. I'm just like, I want to learn to do that now. Amen. Amen. Well, we're here. You know, you're probably wishing I could answer the question, why? I'm not going to try. If I tried to answer the question why Zach passed away, I would give you some sort of really bad theology. And I don't want to do that. I wish on this side of heaven that we would understand things. But I talked one time when Susan Wyatt passed away, the fact that we live in this interesting kingdom realm where we see God do miraculous things. We've seen healings. We've prayed and seen. I've saw a healing right here through my prayer, God's hands, my prayer, and I saw a shoulder completely healed. And then this mystery of why. I don't know. I'm going to give you some thoughts today of some things I think that are at work. I also want to tell you some things that I know to be absolutely true. Let me jump into that first one. Here's what I know to be absolutely true. God loved Zach. For God so loved the world. God so loved Zach. It's not because Zach didn't love God enough that he wasn't healed. Can we just blow that one out of the water? It wasn't like, hey, Zach, do you love me enough? You got to jump through all these hoops. Maybe I'll, no. God loved Zach and Zach loved God. That is true. And the second thing I want to say right off the bat is that we didn't not pray enough, right? You get hit with that, don't you? Maybe if only we would have fasted a little more, if we would have prayed a little differently, prayed a little more. Guys, we got to lay that to rest. Peter's shadow healed people. You know, like he didn't even say anything. And I've seen people healed with what Pastor Rod's an example of. What did she pray? Remove that icky from your eye or something like that, right? That's not very theological. It was a young girl. He had a sty. And she said, remove the ick or something. And it fell off. Remove the yucky. I'm not sure what would fall off of me if somebody prayed that. Remove the yucky. Oh, he's gone. Oh. So I'm going to try to throw in humor. We got to laugh. Those are two things I know to be absolutely 100% true. God loves Zach. Zach loved God. It's not because of that. It's not because we didn't pray enough. That leaves a huge mystery, doesn't it? But listen, church, I want to... There is a stat that you can give 100%. It's 100% of the time. Did you know what that stat is? We will all die. It's 100% true. When in my readings, I came across a story of a fiery preacher that went into a congregation and he said, "You are all going to die." And there was a man chuckling at the front. He said, "This congregation, everyone's gonna die." And the man was chuckling. He said, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "I'm not part of this congregation." But the truth is, we will. I want to say this to you. I want to say this earlier. If you wonder, you think I'm worshiping and I have it all put together. There's not a moment since Thursday that I haven't wept or thought about Zach. But up there, I want you to know that's our hiding place when we worship. I can tell you every time that I've gotten up there, and Lord, protect those words. You know, it's like, I want to continue that. But that's where I can go and hide and worship. That's where when I'm worshiping, because I don't want you to think that I'm not, I am hurting like you. And some of you are hurting way more because you knew him even better. But when I'm up there, it's like, I can see he's in heaven. And I can see the king, not see. I'm not saying I see, but I can sense, you know. And I'm like, that's worth worshiping. And there's this joy that comes on me and I can worship. And that's what God wants, right? That's what he wants when we worship. He wants us to be able to hide in him. So young people, as you're going through this, I encourage you to worship. Even if it's just putting on worship music and sitting before him, and it's okay if you cry. It's part of it, amen? Oh, I'm all over my notes. Help me, Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me. I wanted to share, I've come to realize, turn to Matthew, we'll start in Matthew, that we really have a very wonderful season that we live in on the earth. We also have a very North American understanding of things, and we're blessed. We're just straight out blessed. I'm pretty sure this funeral will be, correct me if I'm wrong, our kid's first funeral. Have you ever been to a funeral, hon? One. Susan. You got Susan Wyatt's? I don't even think you went to Susan Wyatt's. Like our kids have lived. I shared this story a while back. Megan, our hamster died. Her hamster. And it was right around the time she was graduating high school. And all of a sudden I hear this scream coming from the kitchen. I thought she had just gotten some scholarships. Like, I thought we were like out there on the patio. I thought, oh my gosh, she's getting scholarships. And I realized, no, this is agony. And I thought, what is she screaming? And she found her hamster dead. And I pondered that. I'm like, why is she like reacting like it's a hamster? And the Lord quickly showed me, she's never faced death. And that was her first time. We live in a blessed time when you could be even in your 20s and facing death for the first time. I realize there are Christians in nations that face death on a regular basis. And I'm so thankful that we don't. So grateful. I'm so thankful that it's a rare thing. But nations like Ukraine and Russia and nations in Africa, there are still famines and they are seen, and people are dying on a regular basis. And so part of this is learning to go, Lord, thank you for what we have. It still does not make this easy. Please understand, I'm just trying to bring perspective to go, Lord, thank you for the nation we live in. Matthew 10, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 4. Let me go there first. Matthew 5, verse 4 simply says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus spoke that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 4, verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18 says this. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed. Did you see that though? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Paul writes this in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I'm reading those scriptures because this is New Testament, this is Bible, and some of them come from the words of Jesus, and some of them come from the words of Paul. And yet Jesus also spoke these words, Matthew 10, 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. My point as I look at this, because our question is why? Why did Zach go? I don't have an answer for that, but I do notice that Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What does that mean? That means even with Jesus in our life, we will go through mourning. It's just a given in life. Like I said, 100% of us, 100 times, like we will all die at some point. Therefore, we will all mourn. It is harder when a young man passes away with a life in front of him. But I want to remind you, I think Zach lived a lot of life by the age of 30. So many more things that he wanted to do. Yes. But I just really honor that man for the life that he lived. They talked throughout this process of the testimony that would come from it. And our hope was, and our prayer was, as we prayed on a regular basis, our prayer was that the testimony would be his healing. That's what, right? And by the way, as a church, we have to get ourselves to go, we're going to still pray. We're going to still pray. But we have to remember, in the midst of wanting that testimony, do you know that Zach had a lot of testimonies? I found out from his mom. This is a big one, that Zach would walk around the waiting room before chemo and pray for people. Awesome. Yeah, that's a that's a testimony of a young man who grabbed a hold of something in the midst of it. Another testimony that he has is that this young man, I think, walked it out beautifully because he did not shy away from, hey, I need prayer. I'm not gonna try to act like I don't. But he also came in and went, but I'm also going to worship. And I'm also going to cry. And I'm also going to persevere. And he just kept going after it. And I think that's an incredible, incredible testimony. The testimony of him being a friend, I watched story after story of the friend that he was to people. Jet's here today. So thankful that you're here, buddy. One of his best friends. And he loved Zach, and Zach loved him. And there's stories of trouble that I have yet to hear that they got into, I'm sure. But Zach loved people well. And that's a testimony. I want to tell you another testimony. Sunday we prayed. You know, we sometimes go, where are the miracles in this? Sunday we prayed that he would get home. Do you remember that? That's only a week ago. Why does that feel like a month ago? That was a week ago. We prayed that Zach would get home. And listen, church, that would have been such a bigger tragedy to have all that unfold in Mexico alone. Oh my goodness. So we're like, Lord, you got to get him back. I don't know how he got home. Because when I saw him on Monday, I thought, how did this man transition from a wheelchair to an airplane seat? He was not on a bed. He was in a wheelchair, went to a seat, from the seat, you know, to back to the wheelchair, navigated customs with Mire. That to me is an absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. God's mercy and grace. I want to see if I missed any more because I was writing down a whole bunch of them. He went through chemo treatment and was never sick. That's a miracle. He even got, I wanted to remember the name, and if you guys are here and you remember, I think they called it the devil's syringe or something like that. Anybody remember? Was that what it was called, Josh? Like, could we come up with better names for medications? And this shouldn't hurt a bit. It's just called the devil's syringe. And, you know, that puts a little bit of fear, but Zach went, I'm not gonna expect to be sick. And he went through chemos and never was sick. Lost his hair just so he could look good like me. That was bad. I'm gonna just preach to you. You like my jokes. But that's a miracle. That got to go on trips in the midst of these 2 years and spend time with family. Like, so when we look at it, my point is this, that we can look and begin to go, look what God was doing. Because right now the enemy wants to go, look what God didn't do. And we have to go, but look at what he was doing. And he was touching lives in the midst of this. And so I go back to these scriptures because it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What were the other ones we read? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. So we will face these things, and our role is to be community in the midst of them. And it was said yesterday, I thought this is true. This is what we forget. I think, you know, with God in our life, I want everything to be perfect. The Lord, when I was younger, began to say, you know, you think of me like a genie in a bottle. You just want to rub the genie and get what you want. And I realized that's not a king. That's not who he is. But he is walking the earth doing incredible things. And yesterday was said, you know, you forget in the book of Acts that these are men and women that love God, that walked with Jesus and still died. Some of them were even sick. You look at Paul. Paul even says, you know, that thorn in his side. And he talks about, you loved me even through my illness. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Didn't everybody get healed? Apparently not. And that's hard for us to understand. But then he says these words, I have come to heal the brokenhearted, and he wants to comfort us. So the other two points I want you to know is that we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world that we are walking through, and we're actually, as Christians, trying to redeem. It's our role on earth that God came and sent, or the Father came, sent his Son, and his Son came to begin the work of restoring this world for his Father and for the bringing the kingdom. And then he said, when he made a way for us to have eternal life, he said, tag, you're it. Now I want you guys to go and expand the kingdom. And that's our role, is to expand the kingdom and to bring life and to bring comfort and to bring love. But the truth is that just like in the book of Acts, that we still live in a fallen world. The disciples were, and the apostles were martyred. You read through, like I said, people were sick. There were famines. And I would love to tell you that in those famines, sometimes this is what we do in North America. We think, well, in those famines, no Christian ever died. That's not real. That's not true. But in those famines, God did some miraculous things as well. Now, I would love to tell you that 99.9 or 100% of the time, every time somebody is in need, there's a knock on the door and food's given. Like, we tell those stories because they are absolutely amazing, right? But have we ever heard of a story where that didn't happen? Sometimes. So what's my point in all this? That God wants to walk through us and with us in those moments. And this is what was said yesterday that really struck me. Maybe sometimes it's not the end result as much as God is using us in those moments as we walk through our situations. And Zach did that beautifully. If he could be there, I'll be honest with you, I think sometimes I'd be sulking in the waiting room. Just being real. But he found a way through the season to go, well, while I'm here, I'm feeling pretty good actually. Maybe I can pray for people. Come on, we just gotta celebrate. That's amazing. Come on, that's amazing. And young adults, if you can grab a hold of what he did, you will change the world. At least you're gonna change everybody you come in contact with. I promise you, because we watched the young man do it. I had people I met at the, I think I shared this, at Zach's fundraiser that went to a grade school with. Like, you know, how did you know Zach? Oh, I worked out with him in the weight room, and just, you know, he's so happy and joyful and just a great guy. So he was doing kingdom in the weight room. He's doing kingdom in the waiting room. He was doing kingdom wherever he went. But he was also just being Zach. He was being silly. Turn to 1 Peter 2:24, please. I just said, you know, we live in a fallen world, and I'll just use this to kind of prove some thoughts. 1 Peter 2:24 says, if you're there, say there. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself, being Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That we, having died to sins, why did we die to sins? Because he bore them. He took upon him the sins of us. Our sins haven't been, lost my spot, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So let me ask you this. It says that we died to our sins that we might live for righteousness. Raise your hand if you still occasionally sin. Some people have two hands up. So it's interesting. It says he died for our sins that we could have righteousness, yet in this fallen world, occasionally we still tend to sin. Does that make that null and void, that scripture? No. The kingdom is increasing. And hopefully in our lifetime, we sin less. But he died for us so that we could have righteousness. And we are righteous because he died for us and as us, right? But then it says, by his stripes, you were healed. And we often want to go, but that didn't happen. But in the same way, we sometimes still sin. Sometimes we're still battling people not being healed. But I do know this, there are more people being healed today because there are more people praying for healing today. And we want to see that increase. Now, I don't know if we'll ever see a day where people don't get healed, because he says he came to bless and comfort those who mourn. So it'll always be a part of our life. But man, we want to see that increase, don't we? You guys following me? I know you're quiet. Let me share one last thing, one last analogy. You might have seen this before. This is not mine, but it's brilliant. If you've seen it, it's awesome. That shouldn't happen. You want to help me, sir? On the end of that, you can see, I'll hold it up as he does this. tie that, that would be me. While we're doing this, commercial, why don't you tell somebody next to you how amazing Zach was? One thing that you loved about Zach. Go ahead, go. One thing you loved about Zach. If you knew Zach, tell your neighbor one thing. Even if it's not all of it, just, that's good. Okay, so, I want you to think, especially, I saw this analogy a long time ago, and it really struck home with me. I'm going to close with this, as, I'm not saying I'm done, I'm just saying this will be. So for all of us, if this rope, if it's eternity, it never stops. But this is a pretty long rope. I could shoot it out the door and you guys would think it would go on forever if it was not tied in knots. So, but in eternity, this wouldn't even really show it. If that red, that's the length of our life on earth. Even if we went with this rope. We live our life in eternity, and that's how much it is of earth. Have you ever looked online? Another way you could do it is go and look at $1 billion on a scale, and even $1 million, you can see how small it is. And then if you think of a dollar or a penny, it is so insignificant, it seems. It makes me realize if we really understand and believe in the kingdom, this is such a small part of our life. And as I saw this analogy, what struck me so hard about it was the gentleman, Francis Chan, said, how often do we live our life thinking that's the most important part? Gulp. Because we do, right? We want to live with this being so important and collecting so many things, becoming so famous. And yet you look at an eternity, like this is so small. And we should be living our life thinking about this eternity, not the days that we have on earth. Kind of puts it into perspective, doesn't it? So what does that do for me? Well, first of all, it makes me go, you know, I don't know how long of, you know, if it's a full thing, Zach didn't even, you know, that was part of his life. It wasn't full in the sense of our years. We think somewhere between 70, 80, 90 years old. But Zach knew Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So he had all this secured, right? That's the first step. He knew where he was going because he at some point, whether he was when he was young, I'm sure it was, I never really did ask him, but he said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm a sinner. I messed up and I will keep messing up. I need you to be my Savior. Would you come into my life? I give you my life. And he said those words and Jesus met him. And because of that, when he died, Jesus met him. But you began to see his life, and I don't know where Josh is. You know, Josh in those days, Josh, thanks, brother, for pouring out your life into him. Amen. He did a lot of Bible studies with him. Josh just went and spent time with him, and they talked about those hard subjects and talked about being healed. And so thank you, Josh, both as the young adult leader here, but also just as a friend. You did so well. And Ange and Judy and different ones. And Becca, you guys loved her so well. But because of that, he knew where he's going. You know that for eternity, he's with Jesus? In some ways, we'll probably need to change our mindset and begin to go, I'm jealous. You know, we sang a song about wanting to have his presence here. He's in his presence forever. The second thing I realize in all of this as I look at if this is really our life on earth, and don't we make so many other things more important than what's really important? First and foremost, Jesus. But also, don't we often, I realize, and I'm beginning to change, and I think it's just years on this earth, and also contemplating all this, that there are times when my kids or people are in front of me, and I'm thinking of all the things I got to do, and I'm learning to go, who cares what I have to do? This moment right now is what's important. This conversation, this love, not my phone, not all the projects I need to get done. And that's something else that Zach knew how to do really well in the last 2 years of his life. He would often say, hey, can we just go out for lunch? Can we go have breakfast? I just want to talk. And gosh, that guy could talk. If you knew Zach, you knew he could talk. And he would just share this and that. And I learned to go, I'm learning to listen because he's got so much to share. So many awesome things. I found out also, like, how many best mans was he? I began to look at all these pictures. I'm like, this guy had a full-time job being the best man for weddings. Somebody said, because he was the best man. I'm like, sure enough, he was. So when you think about your life and we think of all the things, you know, I think of all the things that frustrate me and I'm like, really? Really? Let's get the things back into importance, things that are important. Because this, not a long time when you think of eternity. And I can tell you this, eternity doesn't have knots in it. Thank goodness. I'm not sure it has naughty people in it either, but anyway. So church, we are mourning. But we also, I want to challenge us. I'm challenging me. What will we do now, though, when somebody's sick? Because what I want to see us is, let's press in again for healing. Because when it comes down to it, what other choice? And I want you to know, as a pastor, I spent days, starting last Sunday, trying to say, Lord, what? I don't understand. That is normal. I don't think God gets upset with us. I think he walks with us in those moments. And I think in the end, it'll be eternity when we get there. We go, okay, now it makes sense. But in the midst of it, we still hung on to you are good. You are good. Even when I don't understand, you are still good. And that is hard in moments. But I want to encourage us as a church to say, we will not stop praying for people. We will not stop praying for people.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.